We are reading Acts chapter 10. I purposely not put it on the screen. And, you know, sometimes we can get spoon-fed by the screen. Yes. And I really want to just encourage you, as you get this reading, is just listen. If you need to, close your eyes. But ask God to speak to you more than just me speaking to you afterwards.
At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now, send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who's called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its 4 corners. It contained all kinds of 4-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You're well aware that it's against the law for a Jew to associate or visit with a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who's called Peter. He's a guest at the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of the peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead, and on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out, even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have." So he ordered they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Amen.
Thank you for that, John. Interesting story. The root of this was last week, I don't know if you know, I actually had a real sense of God ministering, and I got very excited at the end of the service, and then suddenly realised, actually, we're trying to honour the situation by keeping it to the hour that we had. And I kind of realised that God wanted to minister. And we were talking about Pentecost and we were talking about the Holy Spirit. And it had been something that had been brewing in me. And then we need to pray for Ken because he's got his tooth problem. He was due to preach and God kind of moved him out of play. And you kind of get this feeling that God has got something unfinished business for us. And this chapter, this whole chapter, isn't it good to hear a whole chapter?
Amen.
You hear the whole story. In fact, it's great if you do a kind of look at the whole story through the Bible. Just getting things in context is sometimes good for us because we understand what's going on. And there's a whole pile of sermons that you can preach from this. And but the kind of first one I really want is to talk about, is there's three groups of people that I believe God wants to minister to at this time. The first thing is just for those who may never have had the Holy Spirit in their lives, and you know nothing about the Holy Spirit. Next slide, come. And it's really, I've kind of labelled it, become a sower, become someone who is full of the Holy Spirit. You see, God in us enables to do the impossible. My God has a mighty calling on my life, and he is not a cruel God that then doesn't give me the tools to be able to do that calling. God has a calling on your life bigger than you can do in your own strength. And he wants to equip you for that. And that's the Holy Spirit. So kind of, Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. So do we. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was raised in the Holy Spirit. He was witnessed in the Holy Spirit. He judged all. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He forgives you in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a tool that Jesus needed. If Jesus needed it, and we look at Jesus, and we worship Jesus, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, then maybe so do we. The Holy Spirit is something we need. And the other kind of verse, I just really want to kind of add on to that at the end of the day. Interestingly, he says, I am commanded to be ready to share and witness that God's put in my life. So if I've not got something in my life, I'm actually not prepared to do what I'm commanded to do. And if I'm commanded to be something that leaks the Holy Spirit, if I'm not doing that, I'm not doing what I'm commanded to do. And God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. He wants to give us his Spirit. He wants to empower us with his Holy Spirit. So that's the first group of people. I've got this sense that there needs to be a time for us just to kind of receive that. The second group of people is a little bit more interesting. You see, let's just look at Cornelius. Be ripe to receive. You see, Cornelius, it's possible To be someone who comes to church, puts the chairs out, gives your offering, serves the Lord, gives food to the poor, do all these things, do all the good works, even play in the worship team, speak from the front. It's easy, it's possible for us to all do these things and actually not have the Holy Spirit. Because it describes Cornelius as being this real man of God. Amazing life. If you look at what he does in the church, you think you'd give your hind teeth to have, you know, that all people were like that. But he wasn't full of the Holy Spirit. One is a form of our actions to God. The other one is, and we do it for God and we do it on God's behalf. But God actually wants to be in us so that as we do it, we're actually exuding him. He's touching people's lives through our hands. You see, what Cornelius was really wise about was this guy had a vision. Have you ever thought that? He wasn't full of the Holy Spirit. He didn't even know the Holy Spirit. But he had a vision. We sometimes hang on to our spiritual walk and say, well, God spoke to me. But that doesn't mean we're filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants to fill us. And he gives us these breadcrumbs that lead us to being filled with the Holy Spirit. He tells Cornelius what to do and he gives him the breadcrumbs. I mean, I don't know if Balaam's donkey was full of the Holy Spirit, but it kind of, you know. But we can actually have lives that seemingly we see God's power speaking to us. But God wants more for that. And so the second thing is, don't put up with half measures. Don't put up with the breadcrumbs. We kind of, the breadcrumbs is a journey to something that's more of God, not a destination. And we sit there thinking the breadcrumbs is what God's got. That's all I deserve. It's all I've got. God's going to give me the breadcrumbs of life. Whereas actually God's saying, actually, I'm not doing this to be cruel. I'm actually giving you a trail to follow. Go and seek me. Seek my Holy Spirit. Seek more. You see, look at this guy's expectation. He gets this word from the angel or whatever it was, and he goes, sends a couple of his servants off. And this guy, not knowing what Peter's saying, because they kind of just sit down and go on, bless us young, go and tell us what we need to know. They don't have no idea of what the Holy Spirit is. But in expectation, he's taking risks. He's got his whole family. Yeah. I mean, that, could you imagine, you know, trying to explain that? You know, you go to your you give your brother a ring and go, we come down, I've got some really keen going on. Well, what's going on? Well, I don't actually know, but I think it's going to be great. And I'll please, you know, could you imagine the conversations? You know, why are we all coming here? And they're all kind of sat there waiting for Peter to arrive. And he's going, well, it'll be good when it arrives. But what's going to arrive? Well, don't know. But there was an expectation that God, this devout man of God, was going to be ministered to. That by getting Peter there, there was something that they had that was more than what we have already. And that should challenge us, really. That I know that people, we make excuses. I've not been filled with the Holy Spirit because, or I've been filled because, and we make excuses why we're living on breadcrumbs. And that isn't satisfying for me. It doesn't satisfy. God wants to satisfy our soul. He wants to give us life in all the fullness. You see, he hungered for something that was missing in his life. So there's a second group of people, and I'm saying this, is, are you living on the breadcrumbs? Do you feel you're living on the periphery and you're making a reason why you can't be open to receive and expectant to receive something more than the mere breadcrumbs of what you feel God's got to offer? Some of us will know, we know that God gives more. We've seen it in other people's lives. We're almost fearing that transformation. But God wants to bless you. He loves you. He is a good God. He doesn't give things that are evil. He only gives good things. A good God, it's like toothpaste. You squeeze the toothpaste, out comes toothpaste. It says toothpaste on the lid, out comes toothpaste. You squeeze good God, out comes goodness. Goodness and mercy. Follow me. Why? Because God's following me. God is with me. and we exude, and God has good things, and he loves you, and you are safe to receive. You know, we kind of, we see the movies where people receive power and they get consumed by it, and kind of God is an awesome power, but it's safe to receive because you've been designed. We have a gas bottle. You fill a gas bottle with gas. We are a Holy Spirit container, so we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We have been designed. You are safe to receive. So that's Cornelius, amazing guy. And the third people I really want to challenge, and that is like Peter. And Peter, verse 14 and 15, he starts arguing with God. Surely not, God. Surely not. You know, I can't eat that. I can't do that. Stop disagreeing with God. I kind of always say that, you know, when I disagree with God, one of us has got to change our mind. I always, you know, and it's not going to be God, is it? So stop disagreeing with God. The other one is, you might not have all the answers. See, Peter was wondering. He wondered, but he still did. And I've kind of heard people talk about the Holy Spirit, and they say, well, when God does this, I will do that. And he was still wondering. And yet he was, and as he stepped into it, John Wesley, he's one of my heroes, John Wesley. And he says, you preach faith until you have it. In other words, you step into it and ask God to give you the faith to continue doing it. And sometimes we need to not have all the answers. And we need to say, Lord, I'll just do it out of obedience. I will step into it. You see, it was interesting that he said to the Gentiles, don't you know it's against our law for Jews to associate or visit a Gentile? Culturally, think about what happened there. I've just realized I've missed something on Cornelius, but I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Think about that. For him to be with all those Gentiles was considered unclean and against the law. So instead of following his own way of doing things, he actually followed God even without all the answers. But more importantly, he followed God and not ministry. Followed God and not religion. And for some of us, that's quite a challenge because our identity is in who we are. I'm a mad Mancunian. You know, you guys, well, I won't go over there. I'll probably get lynched. But, I mean, we're just grieving because of last night, you know, 1-0. But we have our identity in either who we are, in what we do. What's the first thing we ask people when we get to, what job do you do? Where do you live? You know, we have this, you know, how big a family have you got? You know, have you got kids? Have you got a wife? You know, we kind of have these conversations. They're all our identifiers. And from that, that dictates us and we put people in pigeonholes, don't we? And yet God is saying, actually, seek first the kingdom of God. And God is saying, I'm going to speak to you. Don't worry about your culture. Just listen to me. And yeah, very important, Cornelius. I'm going to tack this in. I should have done this here. Cornelius, tying in with that business about the culture, Cornelius was a senior officer in the occupying force. The Jews were subservient to the Roman army. And for a centurion to go up to a mere Jew and bow before him. Think about the amazingness of that. The same army that had taken Jesus and crucified him, culturally he was bowing to the man of God. And I kind of think, well, sometimes we need to kind of put the humility in there, don't we? And we need to recognize what's of God. And sometimes we just need to put our own agenda. But going back to Peter, Peter was astonished. I love that. Peter, the man of God, who's, you know, can, we always see as being this rock of the church or whatever, and we kind of see him, and I kind of think, he's astonished. So the route of following God, of being prepared to actually go out of your comfort zone, is you'll be astonished by God. Amen. For those of you who have not received the Holy Spirit, God wants to bless you and equip you. For those of you who've been serving in the church and you kind of feel like, well, is this all there is? I'll just get on with it and I'll do life. I'll come to church, go to... God wants to actually break through with new stuff. He wants to equip you and he wants to take your life to another gear. He doesn't want you to live on breadcrumbs. And there's a third group of people where lockdown's taken its toll. Relationships are taking its toll. That you maybe you've kind of lost your way a little bit. I've been there. My time here has been a healing. We lose our way in our walk, and then we come and we meet together and we start to reconnect with God. And God wants to astonish you. He wants to give you life and life in all its fullness. Amen. And I believe that what we need to do is this morning is just give, it's now 20 past. I know we kind of look at, we don't look at the watch in God's eyes. I kind of, what is it? A day is 1,000 years. But I just believe we just need to give some space. Now, it could be that the men and women of God can pray with you. Maybe it's the person next door. It may be that you just need time on your own just to be honest with God. I'm quite happy to pray with people. We've got guys at the front who are quite happy to pray with people. If you want us to pray for the Holy Spirit over it, it may be that you need to do business. But if you've never received the Holy Spirit, ask God to bless you. And I know for me, I got prayed for and actually nothing happened. You kind of think, what's that all about? And I woke up in the night speaking in tongues. I kind of thought it was gibberish and it all sounded like, you know, Kita Masiera, you know, Kalagasita, you know, and, you know, Alavashandi, you know. And but what happened was God used that, and actually I just found myself in there, and I just found, and then you need to read about Jackie Pullinger, who as a discipline started speaking in tongues for 5 minutes. She said it sounded like gibberish, but then God took it and she suddenly found she was working in the walled city between China and Hong Kong, and suddenly found that she was just, doors were opening, and then she found herself doing it longer, and she found herself walking in the Spirit. So let's just bow our heads for a minute. Father, we thank you that you are the God who longs to bless us. Lord, that you want to bless us to overflowing. That you want to bless this land, that you want to bless our family. And Lord, we choose to open ourselves up to your Holy Spirit and we say, come Lord Jesus. And Lord, in our lives, we give you our religiosity, we give you our day-to-day, we give you our works, we give you our service. And Lord, we say that all that matters is you working in our lives. And Father, we give you that and say, come Lord Jesus, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Turn our black and white life into colour. Forgive us for living off the breadcrumbs of others. And Lord, we choose to step forward into the banquet of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, for those of us who've fallen away, Lord, we acknowledge that you have been living and active in our lives. Lord, that we give you all of that time in lockdown, in families where there's pressures, in work situations. Lord, you were there with us, but Lord, we give you our lives that have gone cold. Spurgeon was once asked by a student who said he could go it alone and he could go and do it. And Spurgeon was sat by the fire and quite simply took a coal out of the fire, put it on the hearth and watched the coal die. And the Lord, come put us back in the flames. Lord, we thank you that cast us not away from your presence, David said, but restore a right spirit within me. Cast not your Holy Spirit from me, but restore a steadfast spirit within me. Lord, we give you our coldness. We give you all the excuses and we say, come, Lord Jesus, minister to us.
So maybe you've thought that God doesn't see my way, he doesn't really care about me. But Isaiah 40 verse 27 says, why do you complain? Why do you say, my way is hidden from the Lord and my cause is disregarded by God? Do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and will not faint. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that in you we find strength to do life. Thank you for revealing yourself to us this morning. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill each of us. You promise us, Lord, the gift of your Holy Spirit. And tonight, friends, even if you find yourself alone in your room, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. And he will, because he promises to come.